chair recognizes the Honorable Genevieve Black, Democratic candidate for the United States Senator and the next United States Senator from the great state of Pennsylvania.
Mr. Speaker, fellow delegates, fellow Americans, we all loved and admired President Kennedy, and he shared our love and admiration for another great American, a woman whose memory will be recalled for us tonight by a man who speaks more clearly in her spirit than any other voice in this world, our distinguished ambassador to the United Nations, the Honorable Adlai E. Stevenson.
Delegates and friends, I thank you for your welcome, for all of your loyalty and comfort to me in years past when our party's fortunes were not as bright as they are tonight. I have been proud to march with you in 7 presidential campaigns. To have led 2 of them. But I have never been prouder than I am here tonight to follow 2 such brilliant and bold leaders and 2 such old and dear friends as Lyndon Johnson and Hubert Humphrey. They will, I predict, leave the future of our country and of the world in their debt. We have seen a remarkable documentary history of an extraordinary life. And it is of another noble American that I am commissioned to speak to you here tonight. She has passed beyond these voices, but our memory and her meaning have not. Eleanor Roosevelt. She was a lady for all seasons. And like her husband, she left a name to shine on the entablatures of truth forever. There are times when nations or movements or great political parties are sustained in their purposes in being by the persuasive unconscious influence of a few great men and women. Can we doubt that John Kennedy was one? Can we doubt that Eleanor Roosevelt had in some measure the keeping of the party's conscience in her special care? That her standards and integrity steadied our own. That her judgment persuaded the doubters and too soon despairers. That her will stiffened the waverers and encouraged the strong. I don't suggest some unworldly saint dwelling in remote regions of unsullied idealism. On the contrary, as we all know, Eleanor Roosevelt was a fighter, at her best down in the arena, face to face with opponents and ideas that she disapproved. Like that other grand old veteran of so many Democratic wars, Herbert Lehman of New York. In ripe old age, she took on tasks that might have daunted people half her age. Whether it was communist bosses in the United Nations, whether it was exploiters of the poor, or traducers of the faith of freedom, she sailed in tall and courteous, good-tempered, implacable, and thwacked them with the dispassionate energy of a good mother chastising a bad boy. She didn't carry our conscience by remote control. It was precisely her involvement that gave her such tremendous influence. Long before civil rights moved to the forefront of the nation's consciousness, she was there, quietly reminding us of the inequalities practiced in our land. Throughout the Depression, her patient journeys brought to the president and dramatized for the nation the misery and the neglect of millions. During the gray days of national peril, she heartened the wounded and the weary. And during the affluent 50s, when misery ran for cover before the national complacency, she never ceased to remind us of the slums, disease, deprivation, which still make up the dark face of this shining American planet. And again, when we emerged from the war, blinking and surprised, to the role of world leadership, there she was, at the center of the effort, reminding her countrymen of their duties as citizens of the greater society of man. She thought of herself as an ugly duckling, but she walked in beauty in the ghettos of the world, bringing with her the reminder of her beloved Saint Francis. It is in the giving that we receive. And wherever she walked, beauty was forever there. There are always in any society, as there are in ours at this moment, plenty of men and women who would like, despite Abraham Lincoln's warning, to escape history, to evade the fiery trial, to turn back the clock. Eleanor Roosevelt never would and never did. She trained herself from the beginning of her life to face the realities, however unwelcome they might be. And face them she did, not only in the world around her, but in her own family and her own life. Few human beings are called upon to make decisions as difficult as some of hers. Fewer still, women in any case, have ever been subjected to personal abuse as malicious and persistent. But never did she hide, run, wince, or lower her head. Falsity withered in her presence, hypocrisy left the room. And never did she fail to act. If anything equaled the courage of her confrontation with the facts, it was the candor and the warmth of her response. She saw the state of our world as well as the most cynical, the most despairing, but she never despaired. She was never cynical. She never gave up. She believed in the human heart because she knew her own. And she proved by love that all the despair of a despairing time will never disprove, that hope is more powerful than fear. She has left us our counselor, our friend, our conscience. But there can be no doubt where she would be directing our great party today. She would bid us add to the equality we guarantee the extra dimension of opportunity without which even rights can seem like emptiness. She would tell us to look at our great cities and ask whether in the midst of overwhelming affluence, can we afford such misery, such squalor, such hopelessness? She would tell us to labor on in the vineyards of the world, to succor the needy, to underpin the rule of law, to check aggression, and with remorseless purpose to seek peace among the nations of the world. She would ask us to engage ourselves profoundly in the war on poverty at home and abroad. She would urge us to build the great society, not only for America, but for all God's children. And she would bid us do all this, not from party spirit, or partisan prejudice, or anger, or bitterness, or fear, or contempt. She would ask only for the positive emotions, love of one's unfortunate neighbor, since there but for the grace of God go I. Love of our party as a mighty engine of social betterment. Love for a world community threatened by the same annihilation. And above all, love for America, which our founding fathers first dedicated to the great propositions of freedom and equality and happiness, and which can never fulfill itself until these magnificent promises can be turned into even more magnificent facts. This is the spirit in which she would have us go out to join the everlasting battle for something better. This, my friends, is her lasting legacy to humankind and to the party she loved and worked for all of her life.